Welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Coops will bring a message titled, Be a Cheerful Giver, from scriptures found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. This is Jeff Van Meekren, and I'm inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning and welcome. What a privilege to come together in God's house, and what a wonderful intro there, Paul. We just enjoyed that, and that prepares our hearts to worship and puts a song in our hearts and lifts our spirits. And what a blessing that once a week God really invites us and instructs us to come together to glorify Him, to lift up His name. Through it all, we are blessed. We're equipped for what the week holds, and He is honored through our praise. And so it's a real privilege every Sunday to come together and to welcome you and to be together in God's house. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. We hope you're just really blessed, that you enjoy the service that touches your heart. If you're looking for a church home, I invite you to look no further. Just keep coming back here. And we do invite you, too, to stay for time of coffee and fellowship right after the service. It's right through those doors. On the way to the coffee and the cookies, there's also a little shelf with a guest book. And if you'd be kind enough to sign that, if this is your first visit, we would appreciate that and enjoy that. And then we want to say good morning to all of our friends that join us via Jethro Radio. We're so thankful for Jethro Radio, and then others do it through the internet. That's jethro.fm. And then we also have live streaming on YouTube, and some folks still get CDs. So whatever means works for you, we're grateful for this ability to reach out with the good news that Jesus is Savior and Lord. To all who hear this announcement and via electronic means, but are able to join us in person, consider this your personal invitation. We meet live time Sunday mornings, 9:30, corner of, or just past Clyde Park on Burton Street, just west of Clyde Park. We'd love to have you be part of our fellowship. And one announcement, the Sunday school class, Doug's Sunday school class is meeting today, and Sharon's is too, and so we just want you to know that's meeting is scheduled. Hear the call to worship. We give thanks to you, O Lord, with our whole heart. We will tell of all your wonderful deeds. We'll be glad and exult in you. We will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So it seems fitting that we would stand and sing number 677, Glorious is Thy Name Most Holy. 677, Glorious is Thy Name Most Holy.
together. Heavenly Father, we just sung about that. Glorious is thy name, most holy.
And then we ended with that thine the earth and thine the heavens. And really everything is yours. And we belong to you too. We are sheep and you are the good shepherd. Thank you for bringing us into your fold. And as we've gathered here this morning, may your spirit just run rampant in our midst. Will you touch our hearts as only you can do this so that it feels meaningful? That what we're doing here is not ritual, custom, or superstition, but we're here because we worship the living God, the one who gives us hope, not just for now, but for all of eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Also a challenging message to ask the question, how long has it been? So thank you. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, just want to go over a couple of things having to do with our church family. And the first one is, as you know, Joy had eye surgery a week ago Tuesday and is having some reading challenges with her eye right now, isn't quite pleased with how it turned out, scheduled for another doctor's visit this coming week, and just asking for prayers for God to sustain her during this time. And then Betty Holmes spent most of the week at Trinity Healthcare. Friday, she was discharged home, and she says, "I'm home, but with many restrictions." Very grateful for your prayers. It just really feels that we're her church family, and so thankful for the support you give her and the cards and just letting her know you're upholding her in prayer. She loves YouTube because she says, "Now I feel like I'm there with you Sunday morning." Health has been a real challenge for Betty. She's been here one time, but is really grateful to feel that, yes, I have a church home. And then an update on Cindy and Gordon Ralph's 14-year-old granddaughter, Addie. She had her ultrasound and found that the lymph nodes are slightly enlarged, but at this time they're just going to monitor them and see if anything changes. So they'll be watching that over the next period of time. And they too are just thankful for your prayers and grateful for this outcome, which at this point feels favorable. And then I talked to Ron and Jenny Benedict this morning, and Jenny has been in and out of the hospital again a number of times this week, and you know her health is real challenging. And then her husband Ron is also dealing with the flu, not feeling well, and he's a caregiver, and the client that he provides care for, Charlie, has been in and out of the hospital this week as well. So she says it's been a trying week. So thankful for our 8th Church family that I know upholds us in prayer. And so we're just grateful that we can do that for each other. Bringing these requests and thanksgiving before the one who hears and answers prayer. Let's pray together. Creator God, you own everything. Everything belongs to you. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You own the hills. We are but stewards of what we claim to be ours. Forgive us when we get possessive. You in your love provide us with life and all that we need to live the abundant life. Help us to acknowledge that we depend on you for everything. We also approach you to ask for the forgiveness of sins. The perfect healing is the forgiveness of sins. The cleansing, the restoring, the renewing that only you can do. And so we pray that you would remove all the barriers between you and us, between us and each other. Give us courage to be honest with you, be it the things from a day ago or from 50 years ago. Whatever it is that is an impasse between you and us, would you just relieve that? Allow us to experience a freedom in Christ, a joy in our salvation, a peace in our hearts that only comes from you. Give us a spirit of love and not of fear. And may we approach your throne of grace with confidence as we also pray on behalf of those who don't walk with you. There's no one here who doesn't have loved ones, family members, people they rub shoulders with who don't walk with you. And so we always come to you because there's no one else to turn to and ask for your Spirit's working that would melt hearts, soften hearts, have people surrender their lives to your Lordship. Because once we have been in relationship with you, we want that for others because we know there's no better place to be than in the hollow of your hand. We also pray for those of physical needs, and we pray for Betty Holmes, Julie Amon, Adam's father, Bob, Doug Pueller, for Joy, Jim for Strat, Kay DeVries, Don Oppenheisen, Brenda Van Beek, Brian Herwire, Barb Ish, Kathy Misiak, Robert DeYoung, Joanne Sleeth, Emily Dreyer, Ron Osteich, David Schaefer, Helen, Larry Rudnick, Dave Conrad, Tim C. And then we pray, Father, that you just watch over Ron and Jenny and Charlie and all the challenges that they have had this week. And then we thank you for prayers being answered for Sherry DeVries, for Brent Kirkstra, Dan Like, and also for the good progress for their son and daughter-in-law and the baby Lainey, the progress that she is making. And then we thank you for answered prayers for Justin Skytema as he recovers at home. Things look favorable. And for special grace for Addie as her lymph nodes are monitored. And Lord, we come to you because you are our creator. You are also the great physician. And we know you work through medical people. You work through medications, all of that stuff. But that's all wisdom that you have granted. But ultimately, it's always from you that the healing and the restoration comes. And we always have to surrender to your lordship. Not our will, but your will be done. And to that end, we pray for strength for the journey, however you answer the prayers. And then we know there's folks dealing with emotional struggles, be it depression, anxiety, Alzheimer, dementia, a host of things that just make life difficult, make life challenging. Will you give strength to the folks dealing with that? We also pray for family members and caregivers as they rally around them. And we know there's lots of things that keep us in bondage. We think of the addictions and what that does, and there's hosts of them. And then we think of the prisoners, and we ask for your grace for them. They're often called the forgotten people. And Lord, help us to pray for them. If we know people in prison, to correspond with them. And we want to pray for those around the globe who end up in prison because they profess Jesus as Lord. And would you help them to be faithful, give them courage in their hour of trial. And some, the persecution they experience is beyond our grasp. Would you surround them with your presence and give them strength? We pray for those in nursing homes, assisted living, homebound, and remember Gladys Kessel and Glenn Bartman this day. We think of Don Winald on hospice care. We ask for your grace for him, for Judy as she stands beside him, and for the other family members. And then, Father, we pray for those who are grieving, dealing with the loss of loved ones. And sometimes that's just real recent. Sometimes it's from a long time ago. Sometimes there's triggers that happen. We don't even see it coming. We don't know what happened that touched our heart, and suddenly our emotions are all in flux. We ask for your presence. We ask for your strength. And you alone can give comfort to the believer, because our hope is in you, that those who love you in this life are now with you in your very presence. And that's why it's always so important to pray for those who don't walk with you, because we don't want that horrible burden to think that they may have stepped into a Christless eternity. That's why relationships are important. And thank you for families. You instituted the family. In the beginning, you already said it's not good for man to be alone. And then you created Eve and you created the family. And we're so thankful for that, because relationships are a tremendous blessing. What a joy to be in relationship, to have people that love us and care about us and support and encourage us, people that we can just let our hair down with. Then we also know that they can be real challenging. Help us to do it well, to be kind to one another, to extend grace. So often we want mercy for ourselves, justice for others. Help us to also want mercy for others. And as you have extended grace to us, may we do that to one another. We pray for our nation, for our leaders, for those who serve in the military. We ask for mercy on our land. May there be revival in our land that would restore civility. The violence seems to run rampant. We're grateful for the peace treaty between Hamas and Israel. Would you, O Lord, sustain that so this really would become a real thing? We continue to pray for similar things to happen between Ukraine and Russia. Will you give wisdom to our President Trump and to those who negotiate with him in these endeavors? And Lord, we know that ultimately you are the Prince of Peace. And there won't be real peace until you rule in all your fullness. But until that day comes, will you deal graciously and kindly with us? We ask your blessing on J.J. Tinclay, working as a refugee ministries coordinator. Give her grace and wisdom in challenging situations. And then will you lead and guide Danielle and Peg as they make their preparations to serve you in Malawi and the refugee camps there? Would you go before them and smooth those roads too, so that these things can come to fruition and that they can be a real blessing? We pray for persecuted Christians, for those who really profess that your love is better than life. The psalmist already said that. Your love is better than life. Sometimes we can't really comprehend that. Help us to want to feel that same thing. We thank you for 8th Reformed. Would you, O Father, lead, guide, and direct us? We seek for your continued grace and wisdom for our consistory as you have called us to lead in a time like this. And will you bless Pastor Howard and Mary as they serve you and lead worship on Beaver Island even this morning? And will you bring them back home safely again? Your word teaches us to trust that you're a provider, God, and that you know what is best for us, not to be sidetracked by the things of this world. This morning, will you guide us by the Holy Spirit as we focus on trusting you with everything in life? We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 551, Oh, to be like thee. 551. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. What a request. What a beautiful song to sing. But it's a powerful song. And when those things happen, we know it. Because it changes everything. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 6. And the passage is pretty short. We're going to read verses 22 to 24. Doesn't always mean the sermon will be short, okay? Okay. Page 1381 in your pew Bible, Matthew 6, verse 22. Hear the word of God. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Dear congregation, the eyes are the mirror of the soul. They tell a lot about a person. When we look into somebody's eyes, we see if they're sparkling or happy, if they're dark or gloomy or sad. Eyes can be warm, they can be cold. Eyes tell us things that words don't. Talking to someone face to face is so much more informative than any other form of communication. So, talking about Facebook, X, and they always say formerly Twitter, I don't know why, text messages, phone calls, all those things, we don't get to read the eyes, we don't get to read the facial expressions, we don't get the affect. Jesus teaches that the eyes reflect what is in a person's heart. And he says, if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. In essence, what Jesus is doing here is addressing our perspective on life. Is our vision temporal? In other words, are we just caught up in earthly things, which means bad eyes, according to this passage? Or is our vision eternal? Looking to eternal things, things out of this world. And then Jesus says those would be good or healthy eyes. If our vision is temporal, we will stumble. Scripture tells us that. But if it's eternal, you'll walk in the light. And so having said all that, our eyes really reflect who our master is. That's where this passage is going. Verse 24 then elaborates, stating, you cannot serve God and money. In other words, you cannot serve two masters. I once heard that's why polygamy would never work, as no man can serve two masters. This is a great passage, though, for all of us to do a vision check and maybe recalibrate just a little bit. The good eyes is focused on Jesus. The dark eyes on self. What the Bible often calls mammon. That also means stuff or money. So a question Jesus asks elsewhere, he asks it really of Peter, he says, do you love me more than these? And the these in that question is referring to the stuff around him. That was his fishing boat, going back to an old way of life. Just the things that often will draw our attention, our focus, and what we spend a lot of our time on. And so our focus this morning really is, where's your heart at? That's just the focus of this. Where is your heart at? And I'm narrowing it down as evidenced by stewardship and tithing. Now, it's been a while since I did a stewardship sermon, and I thought this would be a good time because it's getting close to Thanksgiving. We want to be thankful. We want to be generous. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, I'll look in the bulletin, and then I see that last week the offering was $7,000. It's like, whoa, I can't come down very hard on anybody. But that's something to be praised and be thankful for. The bulletin showed good giving. And that's encouraging. Encouraging for all gathered here. We are blessed by your giving, when I say we, the leadership, and by our faithful deacons who strive to be good stewards of all that, in essence, you entrust to them. And that's a wonderful office that they hold with a lot of responsibility. So even though this is encouraging this morning, I do invite you, listen to what the Spirit is saying to you this morning about this whole issue. Just listen to it. For clarification, Stewardship goes beyond tithing. And the reason I say that is, it's not like, okay, we'll give our 10%. And I know that in the New Testament, it doesn't say anywhere specifically that you have to give 10%. I'm aware of that. It's an Old Testament concept, but it's still a good one to address and to look at. In Corinthians, Paul talks about give cheerfully, give abundantly, give according to what you can do. And so it's beyond just the 10%. It's not like when we give our offerings, it's not like, okay, I'm paying my dues, and so I'll keep paying my dues, and then I'm a member in good standing of this club. That's not how it works at all. Jesus takes it way beyond tithing. He says this is all about lifestyle. Lifestyle, where our hearts are at. Heart issue, way beyond economics. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's so true. What do we focus on? What do we get preoccupied with? What really takes our energy? What incentivizes us? What gives us a drive and a desire? That's where our heart is at. In Matthew 19, you know the story. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, hey, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And you know, Jesus said, well, keep the commandments and all that. And he says, yeah, I've done all that. And then he says, remember, he's the rich young ruler. He says, well, take all you got, give it away to the poor, be blessed. And it says the young man left sad. It's like, oh no, not that. Anything else, but not my wealth. Here in America, compared to much of the world, we are all wealthy. But Scripture also teaches that to whom much is given, much will be required. So we're also called to be accountable to God with what He's entrusted to us. So maybe it's important to look at our thinking, maybe even change our thinking a little bit to everything we have isn't really ours. We're stewards. It's been entrusted to us, and God calls us to be faithful with what He's entrusted to us. But it's not ours, like that we can do with as we please. That change in thinking also changes our world and life view, how we picture, see life and how to live it. It will change what motivates us. It will change what things we enjoy. And ultimately, it will give us a spirit of contentment and of freedom. Jesus always talks about that, right? He talks about the abundant life. He talks about it's for freedom He has set us free. And this is a big part of that. Freedom and contentment. So how and what we give away will reveal who is in the driver's seat of our life. Who's in the driver's seat? Jesus says, it's better to give than to receive. Better to give than to receive. In the secular world, if there's corruption, if there's things that are going on that are inappropriate, many times, what's the little cliche? Follow the money trail. In the church, it's almost the reverse of that. There can be the lack of a money trail. So let me cut to the chase. This morning, I'm going to invite you to deliberately and intentionally give at least 10% of your income to the kingdom causes, the kingdom of God and His causes. I'm not saying that all has to go to 8th Reformed. I'm just saying whatever Christian causes you support, I think it starts with the local church, but then also to branch out. Other kingdom causes, just like a couple of weeks ago we had that for the Gideons and the Voice of the Martyrs and the Salvation Army. Okay? Other causes to give to, but just to think about that, and then to let God be involved in your work and business and connect your faith walk and your daily life, that all of this comes together, that there's an integration, that we don't have compartments, everything is separated. Remember, Jesus was teaching, no man, no woman can serve two masters. So we have to ask, who is my master? Who is my master? Who do I respond to? Who do I feel that I am accountable to? What inspires me? What gives me incentive? What controls me? So a question is, are you a willing and active participant in the kingdom of God? Or are you busy building your own kingdom? See, every earthly kingdom is temporary, and it brings us back really to that parable about building your house on the rock or on the sand. So in your work and leisure, do you function with God's kingdom in mind? Do you keep the bigger picture? That you are part of a big kingdom, the kingdom of God. Are you more focused, a narrow focus, what would be called a myopic, in just looking at a small world about me and what I want? It's an important question. Now some folks think that taking an offering in church is what we do to keep the church running. There is truth in that. Pays the bills, keeps the lights on, heat, air conditioning. And I mean, I'm not against this. The preacher's salary comes out of this. So let me be full disclosure. So the offering, and that's true to a point, but it's much more than that. In the giving, when the offering is received, it's a form of worship. And I know sometimes I've been asked, you know, if we didn't do the offering during the service, it would save 5 minutes. And some people were really nice. They said, and then you could preach longer. I thought, yeah, right. But I hope you always see that taking the offering is worship. That we are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And actually, the offering usually is taken after the sermon and is mentioned as the first point of response. To give back to God and to say, here, Lord, I'm giving back to you what you have entrusted to me. So I proclaim to you today, based on God's word, if you want a deeper, more intimate, meaningful relationship with God, start tithing. Start tithing. And if you already do, that's wonderful. Praise God for that. Then take it to the next level and say, okay, Lord, what else do you want me to do? It's sometimes called sacrificial giving. Say, Lord, I've been tithing, but would you like me to do more? You've blessed me. I'm capable. How do you want me to respond to this? Tithing really tests our trust in God. It's a surrender of our own control. And in our giving, we are asked to give Him first. That sometimes is hard to do, to give to God first. But you know, that's that whole concept of giving God our first fruits. And when you read the Old Testament stories, God always got the first fruits, the first part of the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and when the first lambs, the first child was dedicated to God, okay, it was the first fruits. God is not honored or pleased when we give Him what's left over. If we say, okay, this week I got to pay the rent, and I got a car payment and groceries. Oh, and the electric came in and the heat. This week there's nothing left over. It doesn't work that way. There's no trust in that at all, that God is the provider God. See, the Lord's Prayer is pretty concise, but when it says, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying to God to provide for our needs and to trust that He is a provider God. So that's why I say this is a real trust issue, a real trust issue. He doesn't want what's left over. Just like in the Old Testament, He never wanted those sheep, goats, lambs that were blemished or spoiled or that were crippled or couldn't keep up with the flock. He wants us to give to Him first. First. Remember, God can do a lot more in our lives with the 90% we would be left with than the 100% if we just kept it all for ourselves that we could do on our own. That's trusting God as a provider. So the question is, and that's a big question, and that's why Jesus talks about this as a matter of the heart. Do we trust Him? Do we trust God as the provider? Do we trust Him to be the Lord of our life in every area of life? Or do we kind of trust the green goddess? Like, yeah, she gives me quite a bit of security. And if things go bad, I'll pray more. You know, Jesus says, love the Lord your God of all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. In other words, love the Lord your God of all that you have and all that you are. You're everything. You're everything. Money management is also an important thing to teach our children and to role model for grandchildren. And really necessary for all of us to be insightful about. It helps us understand money and put it in a proper perspective. Money is our servant. It's a phenomenal servant. As a master, money is a tyrant. But as a servant, it's a gift from God. So even within the family, when kids get cash gifts, teach them how to tithe on it. Teach them how to tithe on it. Teens, if you have income, I encourage you, challenge you, tithe on what your income is. Don't say stuff like, well, I'll wait till I'm older. I can always wait till I'm older. See, the money received in the offering here at 8th Reform should not be seen as something just to meet budget. Then it becomes just like any other corporation or company on the block. It's much bigger than that. We should give according to what God has blessed us with. And then have God use it in any way He sees fit. I heard somebody else say this once in a message like this. He said, so whatever you're giving right now, if God adjusted your salary so that what you're giving is 10%, how many of you would be really nervous? And just think about that for a minute. How many of you would be really nervous if God reduced your salary so right now you're all tithing? I encourage you to give that thought. Another thing that's really, really clear, it's a given. If you won't tithe on $100, there's no way you'll tithe on $1,000. If you won't tithe on $100, you won't do it on $1,000. Because I've heard it said before that right now things are tight, but once we get over this and get some real money, I'm going to take care of it. Doesn't work that way. So wouldn't it be special if our offering so exceeded the budget that the deacons had a wonderful task where the deacons had to come in extra meetings? I'll try not to look at them. And say, how are we going to be good stewards of all that God has entrusted to us here? What are we going to do with this? What additional mission projects? What additional local needs? What benevolent needs? All because of the abundance that God has poured out on us. God also teaches that He loves a cheerful giver. If you give grudgingly, don't give. Scripture's real clear about that. You know, the reality is, God doesn't need anything from us. We opened the congregational prayer. He said, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns it all. It's the blessing He gives us in being able to, in a sense, cooperate with Him in His vineyard. But if you do it grudgingly, don't do it. Because God would rather you just kept it. He loves a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about that. And actually, the words that are used are hilarious givers. It would be like as the deacons are receiving the offering, we're all like, ha, 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 isn't this wonderful? Oh, man, look at it. No, I can give more. This is so fun. I love it. Oh, I've been so blessed. No, let me look. Oh, here's another check. That's actually the picture that it paints. That the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And the word there is hilarious. I also have a word of warning for any abundance in a church. The church is not called to be a bank. We're never called to be hoarders. For a church to grow a major savings account is the same as putting our talents in the ground. It's a story of the talents, the one who buried it in the ground. The church is never called to be a bank. We're called to be prudent, there's no doubt about that, but we're also called to be generous. And God has provided these resources for us now to be a blessing to others. That's what it's all about. Money meant to be our servant has a way of becoming our master. How does it do that? It creates its own needs and a dependency in us. So I have an idea I want to share with you. And maybe some of you already do this, but I encourage you to have a real detailed budget, so you know exactly where every dollar goes. See, if I don't know where it goes, I can't manage it. If I have no idea where it is, then I can't set up a budget. And then I think it's just interesting to do this and to do this well, because then we know how much of it goes to entertainment, recreation, sporting events, gambling, smoking, alcohol, other stuff that has no lasting value. And to see, where does my money go? It's just taking that personal inventory. And then in comparison to all of that, see once how much of it does God get for kingdom causes. Even if you don't make any changes, at least you know how you're managing your money. It's a little bit like if you were a farmer and you had 100 cattle, 100 cows. You'd say, that guy's not a very good farmer if he doesn't know where 40 of them are. I have no idea what happened to him. Well, it works the same way of our budget. Do we know how responsible we are with what's been entrusted to us? Your checkbook, or actually probably more the debit card, tells a lot about where your heart is, what's important to you. So I challenge you this morning to not just leave this message here. God gives us a clear question in today's reading. This is what he asked: today, whom will you serve? Who is your master? Who is the master of your life? Is it God? Or the green goddess? Who has the control in your life? See, one choice is the abundant life. The other one leads to the divided life and eventually to destruction. I suggest you talk about this within your homes. Talk about it with your spouse, with your children, no matter how young. I think that's a good thing to do. Include God in the conversation and in the prayer time. If single, talk it over with God. Perhaps you're in a relationship where you don't see eye to eye on this, then pray to God, how can I honor you, God, in this situation that's real challenging? If you feel the Spirit nudging you in any way, don't overlook that. Don't think, 10 more minutes, we'll be out of here, it'll go away. If the Spirit is nudging you, that's a gift. That's how God speaks to us. That's how he gets our attention. See, God is going to do one of two things. He's going to give you real peace with this and give you a spirit of contentment and say, I like how you're doing things. Or he's going to give you a spirit of unrest and say, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. One thing I really encourage is don't postpone embracing God's leading. We're good at being procrastinators. Yeah, God, I know I need to do this better. But you know, I got to pay off my car. I got a couple more house payments. I got some loans that are still outstanding. You see where my credit cards are at? And that's how we think we buy time, but we're really avoiding the whole situation. And we're avoiding what God is putting on our hearts. And so maybe in your heart there's something about, okay, God, I'm going to do this, but, and then you can fill in your own blank, because we all have those excuses. But Jesus says, come to me. I'll meet your every need. See, he's a provider God. If we really believe that everything comes out of his hands, how can you go wrong with this? There's no way to go wrong if you trust him and put your trust in him. When we trust him, we have to trust him with everything. Not 65%, not 80%, with everything. All of our stuff, all of our money, every area of our life. It's that full surrender. And until the surrender happens, the full surrender, you will not have full peace. Jesus really isn't interested in half measures. A little bit of God, a little bit of self, a little bit from public opinion. He wants full surrender. So I ask you, if this is a place where you feel that you're trapped, let Jesus break the stranglehold, the grip the green goddess can have on your life. She's powerful. And especially in our nation, money talks. It's powerful, gives you clout. You can be free from that, but you have to surrender it. You have to give it up. Here's the plan. Here's the plan. Obviously, it's voluntary, but I really encourage you. If you've never tithed, give it a trial run. Give it a trial run for 3 months. This is almost the middle of October. That takes us to the middle of January. I promise you that if you've never tithed and you start to do it, you won't miss it. And if at the end of 3 months you say, I don't like this, you can always go back to how you're doing it now. But I encourage you to try it at least 3 months. And if you've been tithing all along, I encourage you to pray, Lord, what other plans do you have for me where I can engage in sacrificial giving for your kingdom? This is one area that we are allowed to test him in. Scripture tells us that we can do that. And so I close by reading Malachi 3, verse 10. God speaking, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. We have no idea what's all up there in the floodgates of heaven. He says, I'll pour out so much blessing, there won't be room enough to store it. There won't be room enough to store it. What you do with this message this morning will say a lot about how much you trust God. That's just a straight up statement. What you do with this message will say a lot about how much you trust God. After all, it's like Jesus said, stewardship is a matter of the heart. Father, we come to you. We love your word, and it has ways to challenge us and sometimes even make us uncomfortable. But we know that when you present these things to us, it's always to bless us, to go before us and to lead us. And we know that oftentimes your ways are not our ways, but your ways are always better than our ways. And often we have to learn that the hard way. So as we spent time this morning just talking about stewardship, will you touch our hearts as only you can do that? And then, Father, may you be honored and glorified through it. If there's anything I said that wasn't pleasing to you or accurate according to Scripture, would you delete that from our hearts as we pray it in Jesus' name? Amen. We'll continue singing to our God by number 670, Make Me a Blessing. Standing to sing. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you, for from you all blessings flow. We sing that every week, acknowledging that you are the provider of everything. Thank you for allowing us to be stewards, and may we see giving as a part of worship. And now will you use these gifts in any way you see fit, for the furtherance of your kingdom is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 671, Something for Thee. We'll sing the first verse. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His countenance towards you and grant you His peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you are not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That is 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.